hey, a little bit about me. I grew up in a little town called Piqua, Ohio, about 30 miles north of Dayton. And right up I-75, I played a lot of sports, but the thing I was really committed to was wrestling. I wrestled for 9 years, wrestled at the state tournament. It was my life, really kind of an idol in my life for a season. But wrestling, did anybody play on a team where you get like team photos taken in front of like a fire truck or like some kind of like theme photo? Okay, I'm here to embarrass myself. This is me and the boys. I'm right here. All right. So, as you can see, this was an important part of my life, okay? I wish I remember what the caption was. I don't know if it was like, look at these guns or something like that, but it was, I just have the photo. But, but hey, I'll tell you, the reason I mention that is because, I grew up in a family, we were not Christians. We would go to church on Christmas Eve because I think my family thought it was an important thing to do. But as I was involved with wrestling, a friend invited me to a wrestling camp that was put on by a bunch of Christians. And I went and someone shared with me for the very first time that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus. That despite all of the things I had done wrong, all the mistakes I had made in life, that I could be forgiven for my sins. That God loved me, wanted a relationship with me, and that if I put my faith and trust in Jesus, I could be forgiven of my sins and have a relationship with him and live what Jesus describes as eternal life, that I would be given eternal life and that I could be satisfied both in this life and in the next. And I'll tell you, when I heard that, actually on the wrestling mat, all sweaty after practice with a bunch of other wrestlers, I just wept. It was good news to me that Jesus, that placing my faith in Jesus would change my life. And I'll tell you, I could still circle that day on the calendar when my life began to look very different than it had up to that point. Came off to Ohio University as a freshman and found this amazing community of people. People who spurred me on to love Christ more and live my life for him. I met people who helped me realize that a relationship with Christ was the most powerful, most transforming way that I could live my life. Full of meaning and purpose. I met a community of people that helped me see that even though I had made so many mistakes, that God could still use a sinner like me, despite what I had done wrong in my life. And I met a community of people who didn't leave me where I was, and this was so important, but wanted to see me grow and mature and become more like Jesus. I stepped into a community in this very room that transformed my life. And so tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about how to experience that kind of community together. And I just want to name, if you're here for the first time, you're like, hey, I'm not a Christian. Somebody randomly texted me, and I was like, I want a free t-shirt. You're in the right spot, and we are so glad you're here. You can come every week, and that's awesome. We want you to be here. But we want you to be a part of this community. And here's what I mean. We want you to experience what it is that we experience together as we follow Jesus. So this is an invitation. There's no pressure, but we want you, every one of you, to be a part of this community. So I'm gonna be unapologetic about that. But here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna look tonight at the book of Acts, chapter 2. So every week as we gather together at 180, we will open up our Bibles. And here's what that means. A couple things. One, we'll always have the passage up here on the screen. So if you didn't bring a Bible, that's fine. But I would encourage you to bring your Bible every week to 180 if you have one. Two, if you don't have one, we got some awesome, we got free Bibles down here. We want you to leave with a Bible tonight. So afterwards, you'll grab a t-shirt, come grab a Bible, grab whatever you want off the resource table. We want you to have a Bible. So in a minute, we're going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, but I'm going to do something dangerous. I'm going to have you talk for just a minute, all right? Now, when I say it's time for me to talk, you got to dial back in, okay? But here's what I want you to do. Turn to the person next to you, and if you don't know them, this is a great time to introduce yourself. But I want you to answer this question in 30, you each get 30 seconds, just quickly. Can you remember a time when you were a part of a group that really clicked? A group where you and everyone else felt like you really belonged. And if you can't, that's okay. But if you could think of a time maybe in high school or sometime in your past, share that with one another right now. You've got 60 seconds total. Ready? Go. All right. Your 60 seconds is winding down. 10, 9, 8, all right. Well, we're going to talk tonight just briefly about what it looks like to belong to a community like that. And we're going to look at the very first community of Christians who followed Jesus in the book of Acts. This was the very first church. They didn't have a church building. There weren't any stained glass windows. They didn't have an organ. But what they did have is they had incredible community with one another. They belonged. They belonged to Christ and they belonged to one another. And they enjoyed wonderful relationships with one another. And as a result of that community, they had an outward impact on others. And so we're going to look at this passage. These events take place just weeks after Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and then ascension. His followers gather together and pray. They wait, and then the Spirit comes upon them at Pentecost. And then the author of Acts, Luke, gives us a picture of what this community looked like. So we're going to look at it here in Acts chapter 2. Verses 42 through 47. It's all up there for you. So let me read this. This is talking about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that's our passage. Here's what I want to do with us tonight. Just briefly, we're going to look at three things. First, I want to look at what united this community. I want to look at the impact this community had on their own lives and on others. And then I hope you're okay with this. But what I would like to do tonight is to issue a couple of challenges to you. A few challenges. Some of you like a challenge. Some of you are like, please, I've had a long week. It's been hot. I'm behind on my homework. It's week one. But I want to give you a challenge that I think will really matter. Okay? So hang with me here. What united this community? They were not united over waffles and pancakes. All right? They might have been divided over that. But there were four things that we get right at the beginning of this passage in verse 42 that tell us that they were united doing these things together. And interestingly, it says they were devoted to four things. I don't know what it would look like for you to be devoted to something, but imagine they're devoted to these things. Four things. First is the apostles' teaching. Now, why was this so important for them? Remember, the apostles were the eyewitnesses to all of the events of Jesus' life. They traveled along with him on the road. They heard his teaching. They saw the miracles he performed, and they saw him resurrected from the dead. But now Jesus has ascended to the right hand of God. He is out of the picture. And the apostles have been tasked with passing on Jesus' teaching. And so this is important because fundamental to the Christian faith is the belief that God has revealed himself to us and that he's revealed himself to us through Jesus. And so we want to know Jesus. We want to know his teaching. We want to follow him. And so the early church was committed to those things by listening to the teachings of the apostles. And that's what we get when we open the Bible. It's why the Bible is a central part of this community. Because every time we open it, whether it's here at 180, whether it's in community group, whether it's hanging out with your friends on a Friday or Saturday night, we open the Bible because we believe that God desires to speak to us and that he speaks to us authoritatively through his scriptures that he's given us. And so 180 and community groups, they're all built around studying the Bible. When we gather together, we want to learn about Jesus, his teachings, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the mission that we are now a part of because it's revealed to us in Scripture. So the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, and we are too as we open the Bible and learn about who God is and how he wants us to live. The second thing they were devoted to was fellowship. Now, this one seems the most obvious to me, maybe to you too, but they just liked being together. They had a shared way of life. They were committed to living life together. They wanted to be with others who valued what Jesus valued and who wanted to live like Jesus lived, even though they didn't do it perfectly. As we read on in the New Testament, they had challenges and problems just like any community, but they wanted to be together because there was a shared way of life that they were committed to living out. The third thing they were committed to was the breaking of bread. And this is funny. We don't talk like this anymore, but the breaking of bread, I'll just leave them up there. But it says they were committed to breaking bread. Simply, they ate together. They just ate food together. Now, I don't know about you. I'm pretty devoted to eating. Thank you. That's right. I'm here for that. And so so almost everything we do, we have food at, mostly because I'm hungry. And I want there to be food there. I'm devoted to eating. But they're devoted to eating with one another. They break bread together. Now, why would that be important? They're not, you know, the things that they're devoted to. You look back on Jesus' ministry, and a whole lot of really important things happened around food. The feeding of the 5,000, if you're familiar with that story. There's Jesus multiplying fish and loaves in that story. There's Jesus dining with so-called sinners. Who Jesus ate with really mattered. That he would gather with other people and eat with them. You think about the Last Supper, where Jesus gathers the apostles together and has this final meal with them before he's crucified and resurrected. You've all had a good meal with a friend where you enjoyed good conversation, where intimacy just forms over a meal, where relationships happen as you sit and do one of the most human things you can do together by joining a meal together and having food together. And these early Christians, they were committed to sharing meals together because it bound them together in relationships and intimacy. It was some of the best time they could spend together, was just eating together. And then lastly, they were devoted to prayer. And why prayer? As followers of Jesus, they were committed to talking to God. And I hope that maybe that's new to you, but that's pretty fundamental. Prayer is just talking to God. They were committed to continuing to ask God to work in their midst. They had just spent some time praying after Jesus ascended to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were sent out into mission. They had just spent incredible time praying together, and now they are committed to continuing to pray together. They knew, just as we know, that if anything were to happen in their midst, if anything they were going to do was going to prosper, they needed to ask God to make it happen. There was a profound dependence on God and God's power for them to live as followers of Christ. So those are four things they're devoted to. But what was the impact? I want to talk about the impact of this. The passage tells us some of the results of this kind of community. What happened? Look at how they felt. You see it in verses 46, 47. It says they had glad and sincere hearts. And as a result of this community, they were praising God with glad and sincere hearts. Look at how they related to one another in 44 through 46. It says they took care of one another. Now, we may not need to just sell our possessions to help somebody else, but I'll tell you, one of the pictures we get here is that they genuinely cared about one another. So much, they cared for one another in such a way that they were willing to sacrifice themselves to care for each other. It wasn't just about me, it was about putting other people first. And that's the kind of community that they lived in. They lived for and cared for one another. And then the other thing is, look at verse 47. I think this is one of the most incredible parts. They enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And they had enemies for sure. And if you just read on in the book of Acts, they had enemies. But the reality is they were the kind of community where people belonged, where people felt truly known and truly loved. They were the kind of community that gathered together to eat together, to feed on real food, but also to feed on God's word, on the scriptures, and to grow in their faith together. And it's the kind of community that we want to be. They gathered together in prayer and asked God to do something significant in their midst. And as you read on in the book of Acts, God did, just like he's doing here. I think we can be a similar kind of community here. We are, in fact. We already are. And I want you to be a part of it. And again, for each one of you who might be here tonight thinking, I don't know. I've just stepped into this room. I have a couple of challenges for you, but really for all of us. And so you ready for the challenges? Okay? All right? It's almost the end of the week. You're tired. Here's the deal. Here they are. Maybe. All right. First one is to get in a community group. We talked about them earlier. These are just small group Bible studies where you get to gather together with some friends, eat some food, and talk about real life issues and study the Bible together. And I'll tell you, it's a hard community to find anywhere else on campus. I want to challenge you to get into a community that will do that here. I'll tell you, when you step into a community group, you step into a group of people who don't want something from you. They want something for you. They want you to experience the truth of God's word. They want you to experience the joy of walking with and knowing Jesus. And so the challenge is this, is that before the night is over, find a community group, either in the app or by talking to somebody else here. Find a community group and commit to going for 3 weeks. Say, I'm just committed to trying this for 3 weeks. It doesn't matter how busy my Tuesday was. I made a commitment. I'll try and do it 3 weeks. And if you go 3 weeks and you decide, you know what, this isn't for me, that's okay. But I want to challenge you to get into a community group and try it for 3 weeks. You might open up that app, find one that works for you. And here's the real challenge is text one of those leaders. You can text them right there through the app. They've got their phone number there. You can text them and say, hey, can I meet you tonight? I want to learn more about your community group. All right, there's challenge number one. Here's number two. Take advantage of all the events that we plan to be with one another. There's so many things. You can do something with this community almost every day of the week. Come to the house party tomorrow night. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the biggest house party in town, just for the record. Especially if all of you show up. It'll be amazing. So fellas, where the fellas are at. Hey, it's in the app. Come play basketball with us on Saturday morning. Yeah. Ladies, there's a women's walk happening on Saturday morning. Just go for a walk and enjoy the beauty of a Saturday morning and talk with one another. Here's the super challenge. Here's the real challenge. And hey, and I don't know what all the chatter is, but ladies, you can plan other things to do too if you don't want to go for a walk. So the boys are going to ball on Saturday. But here's the challenge. If this is your first year, here's the real challenge is make a commitment and register to going to First Year Getaway in just a few weeks. It's just a one night overnight. You're back in Athens by noon on Saturday. And I'm telling you, it'll be $10 out of your pocket in an incredible investment in your entire time at OU. You will come back and you will be so glad that you went. And so I want to challenge you to get registered for that. Here's the third challenge. Take the initiative with somebody else in this room to grab a meal sometime in the next week. Grab a meal. Break bread together, okay? That's the hope. You can do it at Boyd or you can do it at Nelson, okay? It doesn't matter. But find somebody. Here's my challenge to you. Make a plan tonight. It'll feel uncomfortable. It'll feel awkward, but we're going to embrace it together. Say, hey, let's grab lunch tomorrow. What's your schedule? Hey, let's go grab dinner tomorrow night before we head to the house party together. Spend some time together, okay? Over a meal. And here's the last one. Almost last one. Just make a commitment to praying with one another. Make a plan to regularly read your Bible and pray. Grab a Bible tonight and make a plan to start praying. Because I would encourage you, especially if you've just showed up here on campus in the last week, my encouragement to you is to take some time in the next few days and say, God, I want these next years of my life to belong to you. I dedicate them to you. I want you to run these next years of my life. I want you to be in charge. And take some time and pray. But I would challenge you to have a regular prayer time each day. And then here's the last one. I snuck this one in at the end. I'm so sorry. Crew here on Thursday nights and at community group, this is an amazing community, but we want to get you connected to a good church too. If you're interested, Crew partners with several really, really good churches in the community. There are a lot of great churches in this community, and I want to encourage you to get out of the campus bubble a little bit. And that means sometimes taking a bit of a drive. So I'm gonna tell you, one of the churches we partner with that my wife and I attend, our family attends, and a bunch of Crew students attend is Christ Community Wesleyan Church. I want to encourage you, because the church is not just a group of students. The church is made up of men and women, young and old, single and married, old, wise, sages, and brand new Christians. And I want to invite you to one of our partnering churches to come to Christ Community Wesleyan with me on Sunday. It's one of the largest churches in the county. It's attended by a bunch of CRU students. I want to invite you to come sit in the Crudent section. We've got a Crudent section, okay? And interestingly, this week, for some of you who know, our one and only Jeffrey Barner is going to be leading worship there on Sunday. So I would encourage you to come check that out. But hey, if you'd like to attend Christ Community Wesleyan, in the app we've got a little give me a ride to church button there, a little ride to church feature, and so we'd encourage you to do that. And I want to say this too, this is really important because we partner with lots of churches in the area, and if you've already committed to one of the other great churches in town, please go there on Sunday. That'd be great. But if you haven't committed anywhere yet, I'd love to invite you to join me, my family, and a bunch of CRU students on Sunday. You could talk to a student leader around here about a place that they go, but we want you involved in CRU in this community, but also connected to a local church. That's really important for us. So friends, we want to be an Acts 2 kind of community, like we just read about. Devoted to reading the scriptures, to fellowship, to eating together, and to praying together. We want to be the most welcoming, most inviting community on campus. No matter whether you've been a Christian for most of your life or you've just begun thinking about spiritual things, we want you to be welcome here. We want to love one another in this room sacrificially because Jesus first loved us sacrificially. We want to be a community of people who follow Jesus wholeheartedly with glad and sincere hearts. And we do pray and hope that he will add to our number daily those who are being saved. We're a caring community and we're passionate about connecting people to Jesus. And I hope that you will choose to be a part of this community. Let me pray for you. Father, we are grateful to be gathered here in Morton 201. Father, we are grateful for what it is you are doing on this campus in our lives and the lives of others. And Lord, we count it a great, great privilege to gather here to worship you through your son Jesus and in the power of your spirit. And Lord, I pray for my friends here tonight, both the ones who are seniors that have been involved with CRU for 4 years and also to the freshmen who have just stepped in the door. Lord, we pray that you would make us this kind of community, that we would gather together under the great name of Jesus, that we would grow in our faith together, that we would love one another, that we would be devoted to these things. Father, make us a light on this campus, ambassadors for you. May we represent you well. And Lord, I pray that everyone here would walk with you.